land with subsidies and other in-kind benefits. The invaders get rid of those people, or at least concentrate them into increasingly shrinking areas, such as the Gaza Strip.
Academics pointed out that through a false narrative of manipulation, Western governments and media have been trying to persuade the public opinion that the start date of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict is October 7, 2023.
Perché si fa partire?
Why do they lie so blatantly? The abomination began at the start of the last century when UK-backed Zionists sent their settlers to Palestine. After killings of Palestinians and unrest in 1947, an abusive UN resolution called for the partition of Palestine into Arab and Jewish states. Had the Palestinians been asked if they intended to share their land?
During his tour of the West Asia to bolster the United States' influence in the region, White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan met the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia bin Salman on Wednesday to discuss the war in Gaza and future relations between Tel Aviv and Riyadh. Some experts believe that Israel's ongoing onslaught on Gaza has impacted the so-called Abraham Accords, putting it on hold. The genocide against Palestinians has pushed many to question the future of Arab countries' normalization of ties with Tel Aviv.
These accords were designed by the United States and Israel in an effort to create an anti-Iran bloc. I don't think this plan will succeed, also due to the role China is willing to play in the region. My take is that these accords won't go any further.
Also on Thursday, a protest by a group of pro-Palestine activists was held outside the headquarters of giant defense and aerospace group Leonardo in the Italian capital. Tens of people with banners and placards called on Leonardo to stop fueling a genocide in Gaza by providing weapons to Israel. Max Civili, Rome.
Amid Israel's relentless strikes on the Gaza Strip, many Afghans have gathered to show support for Palestinians. They vehemently denounced the Israeli regime's brutalities and showed their unwavering solidarity with Gaza. The demonstrators proudly brandished the flags of Palestine and displayed banners reading, "Down with Israel and down with USA."
This war is backed by the US. That's why it is still ongoing. Nowhere is safe in Gaza today. The Israelis bomb schools, they bomb buildings, they bomb hospitals with support from the US.
We have gathered here to call for the cessation of the oppression of the Palestinian nation. To stop the murder of women and children, all Muslims should unite and support Palestine. We are all willing to go to Gaza if made possible by our government.
While expressing their unwavering support for the Palestinian nation and their cause, the demonstrators also voiced their deep-seated frustration at the international community's failure in addressing this crisis and issued a stern condemnation of their inaction.
International organizations are just a tool to legalize horrible crimes committed by arrogant states. They have failed us in the case of Gaza, and this blood is on their hands too. We shouldn't expect such organizations to help, and we Muslims must take action.
Since October 7th, Israel has been committing genocide in Gaza. This demonstration is a ripple in the wave of protests that have taken place worldwide. They all chant the same message, that they stand united with Palestinians.
Through this gathering, Afghans are sending a strong message to the global community. They underline that they stand by Palestinians and support them in the fight for their rights and freedom amid Israeli occupation and onslaughts. Abdullah Mirzadeh, Kabul.
The world's largest gathering dedicated to refugee issues. After 4 years holding its second meeting, bringing together member states, civil society, financial institutions, private companies, and more than 300 refugee advocates. An important participant, Iran. According to UNHCR data, as of mid-2023, the Islamic Republic has been the largest refugee-hosting country in the world.
There's no temporary solution to the refugee crisis. The UNHCR and the international community have to take serious measures for refugees to be able to go back home. The Islamic Republic of Iran has been hosting refugees for the longest time in history. Over the past 45 years, and even more recently since the developments in Afghanistan in 2021, my country is hosting the largest number of refugees in the world, providing them with health care services and education for their children, despite the fact that we are under harsh U.S. sanctions ourselves.
But while the protracted crises in places like Afghanistan, Myanmar, Syria, and Ukraine were discussed, the failure of the UN Security Council to confront the major human catastrophe in Gaza became the most important topic of the day, with a second meeting held on the sidelines of the Global Refugee Forum, focusing only on Gaza.
Women and children have been killed. The humanitarian ceasefire was violated by the Israeli regime. Today, the United States is openly supporting the killing of women and children by Israel. In the Middle East, we are witnessing further expansion of war, a war which, in any moment, would turn into explosion and get out of control.
More than half of Palestinians have had to leave their homeland, and they expect the UN pave the way for their return. The world is watching the people of Gaza as they are running out of time and options, facing bombardment, deprivation, and disease. Palestinians have been waiting for the UN to take action for over 75 years, and today they are facing the darkest chapter of their history since 1948.
The issue of Gaza remained on top of the agenda of Iran's foreign minister as he held bilateral meetings with his counterparts from Saudi Arabia, Japan, Indonesia, Tunisia, Kuwait, and Lebanon, as well as the Prime Minister of the Vatican, and most significantly, the High Commissioner for Refugees, Filippo Grandi, during which the humanitarian crisis in Gaza was discussed, as well as the tragic situation the world is facing in 2023 with an unprecedented number of displaced people. The UNHCR has announced that for the first time in history, the number of displaced people has surpassed 110 million, with over 36.4 million refugees. The Global Refugee Forum 2023 is hoping to provide an opportunity and the basis for the return of these refugees back home. Gisumi Shahmadi, Geneva.
The 19th meeting of the International Muslim Forum of Russia and the Islamic World took place in the presence of religious scholars, ambassadors, and political figures from 18 countries in the Moscow Cathedral Mosque on Tuesday. The meeting was overshadowed by the Israeli onslaught on Gaza, and this was the main theme of speeches by Sunni and Shia scholars and participants in this summit. At the beginning of the meeting, Mufti Ravil Gaynuddin, the Grand Mufti of Russia, voiced his support for the resistance of the people of Gaza against the Zionist regime and called for Muslims to join hands to help stop the genocide in Gaza.
We call on the parties to the conflict to refrain from escalating it, ensure security, stop the death of civilians, and move towards a full dialogue based on the peace initiatives of regional and world powers, including Russia.
Hujjatul Islam Hamid Shahriari, the Secretary General of the Iran-based World Forum for Proximity of Islamic Schools of Thought, noted that according to the Quran, justice is the highest and the most important social value that God has emphasized. The Iranian cleric pointed out that now is the time to appeal to the peace-loving and free peoples of the world to help support the Palestinians. He stressed that the Palestine conflict is the top priority of the Islamic world.
The role of the clergy is very important nowadays, because we now we can see the cruelty all over the world, and normally people understand who is who, and this is the first time that we can see how many peoples in the streets against the cruelty, against the killing of women and children in Gaza Strip, to follow the order of Quran, the order of Allah, to keep from cruelty of the world, to see that the justice is very important nowadays for the world.
Ambassadors of Iran and Palestine denounced the barbaric crimes committed by the Zionists during the past 75 years as a disgrace to humanity.
International organizations have failed to fulfill their role, including the UN Security Council. The role and influence of religious scholars are now significant. Gaza is not just a Muslim issue. It is an issue of humanity, and it's not related to religion. Both Muslims and Christians, everyone should bear responsibility for this, not to mention the Jews. There is no justification for killing vulnerable people, and everyone must do their best to put out the flames of war.
We refuse to leave our land. We know what does it mean, the immigration. We suffered long, more than 75 years. Therefore, every Palestinian in Gaza Strip, they continue to be in their land in spite of all Israeli attack.
Participants also spoke about the need to create an interreligious charter of traditional spiritual values, as well as the role that spiritual leaders can play in resolving the armed conflict in Palestine.
The forum provides a platform for religious leaders to speak out for humanism and the moral foundation of human existence. That comes at a time when those issues are in the spotlight amid the Israeli genocide in Gaza, where people expect the world to help them in the face of the regime's brutalities. Marina Kartunova, The Moscow Grand Mosque.
Another ship bound for Israel was targeted by Yemen's naval forces in the Red Sea, near Bab el-Mandeb. The Norwegian-owned vessel was reportedly carrying fuel to the Israeli regime. According to military officials, the attack came after the vessel ignored several warnings from Yemen.
The naval forces of the Yemeni armed forces carried out a qualitative military operation against the Norwegian ship Stranda, which was loaded with oil and headed to the Israeli entity. The vessel was targeted with a suitable naval missile. Over the past 2 days, the Yemeni armed forces succeeded in preventing the passage of several ships who responded to the warnings of the Yemeni naval forces. We did not resort to targeting the Norwegian ship until its crew rejected all warnings.
The latest attack comes as the Israeli aggression continues to kill innocent Gazans. According to the latest figures, more than 18,000 Palestinians have been killed by Israeli bombings. Yemen's armed forces said they will continue to target Israeli ships until the genocide in Gaza ends.
The Yemeni armed forces confirmed that they continue to prevent ships of all nationalities heading to Israeli ports from navigating in the Arabian and Red Seas until they bring in the food and medicine that our steadfast brothers in the Gaza Strip need.
In response to Yemen's measures near Bab el-Mandeb, U.S. national security advisors have called for the formation of a new naval task force to safeguard the Israeli and commercial shipments in the Red Sea.
Yemen's armed and naval forces have sent a strong message to Israel as they continue to impose bans on all cargo shipments to Israel. Yusuf Maudi, Sana'a.
Portray yourself as the one fighting for the people, and at the same time fight the same people, your own people. That are how many Iranians describe the Mujahideen-e-Khalq organization, or the MKO. A court session was held in Tehran on Tuesday to address a lawsuit filed against the MKO over its terrorist activities in Iran over the past 40 years. The lawsuit is aimed at highlighting the organization's crimes against the Iranian people and also the Western countries' complicity in these atrocities. Among the participants in the court are families of victims of MKO acts of terror in the 1980s. They blame the Western support for the MKO and want the organization to be brought to justice on an international level.
These terrorists have had an obvious connection with the U.S. in recent years. They have acted in line with the U.S. policies. The U.S., which claims to uphold human rights, has supported these terrorists. We expect the international bodies and tribunals to hold the organization and its supporters to account. Today, in our country, we see that the legal process is going forward, and we hope to see this process on an international level.
The Western countries have talked about human rights for many years, but we see that the human rights they are talking about have time and again been violated by them. The MEK atrocities against Iranians were supported by them.
A woman says MKO terrorists murdered his husband right in front of her and their children in their own house.
My husband was at home that night. Two of the terrorists ran into our house. They beat me and my husband. After that, they started shooting at him right in front of me and my children.
The terrorist organization of MKO has not been convicted by any international judicial body. In the meantime, it has been supported by the Western countries, including the U.S., which makes them complicit in the organization's crimes. Farzaneh Shuryun, Tehran.
In Latin America, the Palestinian cause is seen as more than just politics. It is seen as a deeply important humanitarian issue. Across the region, people have showed up in great numbers in rallies held in solidarity with Palestinians being subjected to Israel's genocidal war on Gaza. Some of the Latin American administrations have also moved ahead of verbal condemnations and took more decisive actions. For instance, Chile's government recalled its ambassador. Bolivia, Argentina, and Mexico severed ties with the regime, and the Honduran government urgently summoned its ambassador for consultations. The resounding support for Palestine from Latin American nations that have had lots of great anti-oppression figures with resistance values like Simon Bolivar, Jose Marti, Fidel Castro, and Che Guevara is not surprising. In this regard, I talked to three Latin American ambassadors to Iran during their visit to the Latin America Cartoon and Caricature exhibition at the Tehran Museum of Contemporary Arts. Venezuela's ambassador to Iran censured the U.S. unwavering support for Israel, blaming Washington's backing for Tel Aviv as the main culprit for prolongation of Israeli onslaught.
La posición primero.
The U.S. is playing an undeniable role in the developments of Gaza. It has supported the regime's aggression against Palestinians and added fuel to the fire. Days ago, it was the U.S. that vetoed a U.N. Security Council resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. The U.S. is supporting the Israeli genocide of Palestinians and is contributing to the continuation of this massacre.
The Bolivian ambassador also pointed to the U.S. move to veto a U.N. Security Council resolution that would have called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza.
Unfortunately, we're observing that some international organizations are useless. For instance, a single vote can overturn the decision of the whole world in the UN Security Council. This failed system has led to the prolongation of the Israeli aggression.
Perez Ramos also called on the international community to put an end to the Israeli massacre of civilians.
The Bolivian government, as well as many other nations across the globe, has time and again condemned the Israeli genocide of Palestinians in Gaza. The international community must take more decisive actions to stop the regime's onslaught of Palestinians.
While having an estimated 60,000 Palestinian refugees, including their descendants, in his country, the Brazilian ambassador to Iran refused to directly condemn the U.S.-backed Israeli genocide of Palestinians. He only said it's a pity that the U.S. has blocked efforts to uphold a ceasefire in Gaza.
And we hope the United States will review its position, and we hope Israel also review its position after they see the catastrophe they are doing in Palestine. So I think even hardline countries will have to be sensitive to the tragedy, what is going on in Palestine.
While the Israeli narrative continues falling apart, the truth has been uncovered for Latin Americans like other people across the globe. That is, Palestinians are the ones subjected to decades of oppression, occupation, and ethnic cleansing.
Israel has for years sought to foster a close relationship with Latin American countries. However, the regime's ongoing onslaught on Palestinians has led to a seismic shift. That is, an exponential surge in anti-Israeli sentiment among Latin American nations. Mahdi Abbasian, Tehran.
in the limelight.
The United Nations has warned that world leaders have to stop doodling and start doing when it comes to carbon emission cuts. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The website yahoo.com has covered this story and tells us more. Global climate investment needs to rise to $3.6 trillion by 2026, Alliance Trade has said ahead of the COP28 Environmental Summit this week. The fortnight-long conference will begin on Thursday, 30th of November in Dubai, hosted by the United Arab Emirates, with scores of world leaders and delegates from almost 200 nations set to attend the summit. It's said to be the biggest annual climate congress held under the 1995 United Nations Convention on Climate Change, with British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak set to arrive in the Middle East on Friday, 1st of December. However, there are warnings that the world has made alarming slow progress to achieve the Paris Climate Accord, a legally binding treaty aiming to keep temperature rises well below 2 degrees Celsius. Credit insurer Alliance Trade says investment worldwide needs to hit $3.6 trillion in just 2 years and reach $4.4 trillion by 2046, as they called the next 10 years the decisive decade. Analysts are saying this implies a staggering investment need of approximately $5,000 per ton of annual carbon dioxide emissions, without applying any discount and disregarding impacts on operational costs, while assuming a social cost of carbon at $200 per ton of carbon dioxide. This level of investment would become financially viable after 25 years. It comes after the United Nations top climate official Simon Steele warned that world leaders have to stop doodling and start doing when it comes to carbon emission cuts. Simon Steele told The Guardian, "We're now at a point where we are all on the front line, yet most governments are still strolling when they need to be sprinting." The COP28 will focus on energy transition, climate finance, adaptation and resilience, and inclusivity, with a goal of tripling global renewable energy capacity by 2030. Decarbonisation, capture and storage, and cutting methane emissions are crucial targets, while getting the Loss and Damage Fund, established at COP27 summit with a promise of wealthy nations providing $100 billion a year to poorer countries, is a key climate finance priority. The COP28 summit marks the conclusion of the first global stocktake, which evaluated progress on the 2015 Paris Climate Change Agreement. But net zero emissions is no longer even a viable goal, Alliance analysis found, with the window of opportunity to hit 1.5 degrees Celsius target via mitigation having already closed. A briefing by Ludovic Subran, chief economist, stated, "The global economy has made alarmingly slow progress towards achieving the promises of the Paris Climate Accord. The global economy would need to cut carbon emissions nearly by minus 13% every year from 2025 to 2033. The coronavirus pandemic in 2020 only managed to reduce carbon emissions by minus 7%. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story. World leaders must stop doodling and start doing on carbon emission cuts, as rapidly rising temperatures this year have put everyone on the front line of disaster, the United Nations top climate official Simon Steele has warned. Simon Steele added, no country could think of itself as immune from catastrophe. Steele will oversee the crucial COP28 climate summit that begins next week in Dubai. Scores of world leaders will arrive in Dubai, United Arab Emirates, for 10 talks on how to tackle the crisis. We're used to talking about protecting people on the far-flung front lines. We're now at the point where we're all on the front line. Simon Steele added, we're used to talking about protecting people on the far-flung front lines, but we're now at the point where all of us are on the front line. He added, yet most governments are still strolling when they need to be sprinting. Global temperatures have broken new records in recent months, making this year the hottest year on record, and perilously close to the threshold of 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels that countries have agreed to hold on to. Temperatures are now heading for a hellish 3 degrees Celsius increase unless urgent and drastic action is taken, but greenhouse gas emissions have continued to rise. Simon Steele said it was still possible to cut greenhouse gas emissions enough to stay within the crucial limit, but that further delay would be dangerous. Every year of the baby steps we've been taking up to this point means that we need to be taking much bigger leaps with each following year if we are to stay in this race. The science is absolutely clear about this. The fortnight-long COP28 summit will start this Thursday, 30th of November, in Dubai, hosted by the United Arab Emirates, a major oil and gas-producing country. Scores of world leaders, senior ministers and officials from 198 countries will be in attendance, along with an estimated 70,000 delegates, making it the biggest annual conference of the COP summit held under the 1992 United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. Britain's Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is expected to attend the summit, and also the British monarch King Charles III will give the opening speech, along with the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres, and the President of the United Arab Emirates, Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan. The leader of the world's Catholics, the Pope, will also attend the summit, as well as the European Commission President, Ursula von der Leyen. Many world leaders from 198 countries will also attend the summit in Dubai. The presidents of the world's two biggest greenhouse gas emitters, Joe Biden of the United States and Xi Jinping of China, are not expected to attend the COP28 summit. But their envoys, John Kerry and Xi Jinhua, have signaled their close cooperation before the talks begin. Sultan Al Jaber, the chief of the United Arab Emirates national oil company ADNOC, will preside over the COP28 summit. Sultan Al Jaber has come under fierce criticism from green campaigners for his dual role, but Simon Steele claimed this was a distraction. Simon Steele said, this is not the first COP summit to be hosted by a fossil fuel producing nation, and it certainly won't be the last. Every country, even those that are major oil producers, have their role to play, he said. But what is important are the messages and the signals that the incoming president is giving, and they speak of the need for urgent action and a focus on the how. How do we speed up the transition to a new decarbonized world? Fossil fuel executives are likely to be out in force at the summit, as they have been an increasing presence at COP summits in recent years. Simon Steele added, it's important that we recognize that the fossil fuel industry has to be part of the solution. We know where the problem is, but in order to progress the conversation from what needs to be done to how it needs to be done, the fossil fuel industry has to be part of the conversation. However, Simon Steele insisted these companies had to show that they were serious about shifting the world to a zero-carbon economy. Steele said, their engagement in the process has to be legitimate, has to be speaking to the necessary actions that are taking the transition away from our current dependence on fossil fuels to a new decarbonized business model. One key issue at the COP28 summit will be the provision of finance for the rescue and rehabilitation of the poorest and most vulnerable communities in the world. The absence of this loss and damage funding has been a long-standing grievance for developing countries, but earlier this month, countries agreed to a blueprint for the fund.
Option for today and a better tomorrow. IRIB English Radio. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
Now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
The U.S.-Israeli genocidal war continues to claim more lives, not just on the Palestinian side, but also for the Israeli regime forces. Meanwhile, there are more signs that Israel wants to forcibly displace Palestinians into Egypt and even Saudi Arabia. This is while the Israeli PM has even threatened to attack the PA, while the Hamas political bureau chief has said a Gaza Strip without Hamas is a delusion, expressing that it is open to talks, however, to end the Israel genocidal war. Let's find out what our guest thinks about all those topics. Let me introduce them first. Masoud Shajara, chairman of the Islamic Human Rights Commission, joins us from London. Also joining us is Saab Shah, author and West Asia expert, who joins us from Belfast. Gentlemen, welcome to you both. Masoud Shajara, let me first start with you. I'm not going to start out with the Palestinian lives, and it's really shocking to see that the death toll just keeps accumulating. But I'm rather going to start with the Israeli regime forces and how they are losing some of their regime forces on the ground. From what we understand, 10 Israeli soldiers have been taken out in Shejaia, east of Gaza City. The regime so far itself has said 116 forces they have lost. We know that they don't, however, announce the real death toll. It's usually much lower what they announced. But when you take a look at the military aspect of this in terms of how they have proceeded, and the losses that have been incurred, including military equipment. What's your assessment on that?
Well, this has been a disaster in every level that one could possibly look at. Obviously, the greatest disaster is the fact that we are seeing and witnessing one of the greatest genocide in our lifetime being unleashed day in, day out in front of our eyes. And the international community is seeing it and seeing the total destruction and loss of life, particularly the proportion, the affecting children and civilians. But going further than that, Israelis have not been able to achieve any of their goals whatsoever. And the reality is that they are paying very heavy price. Most, as you said, all the indication is that they're hiding the true numbers of the death and destruction which is occurring vis-a-vis their own soldiers and the loss of equipment. And, you know, yes, they are announcing hundreds, but really there are indication that this is not hundreds, there are thousands. And also the number of people who are being affected, lost limbs and parts of their body, become disabled for the rest of their lives, it really is shocking. So they're not achieving anything. They're not achieving their military goal. They're not achieving any other goal except killing as many innocent people as possible, and which indeed was the goal of certain section of Israeli society. And what is also very shocking, while we are seeing this sort of barbaric genocide taking place, still we are seeing that 80% of the Israelis are supporting this genocide, this unlawful genocide, barbaric genocide, which bringing no solution whatsoever. It's just hatred of trying to kill as many innocent people as possible.
Indeed. Well, I'm looking at the most recent news on this that maybe is of relevance here, Subshath, and that is the fact that you have the U.S. National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, visiting the Israeli Prime Minister. This comes on the heels of the Israeli Minister for Military Affairs, who has said that the Israeli carnage, he doesn't refer to it as that, but we say it, the Israeli carnage in the Gaza Strip is going to take months. They're also discussing the fact that they have the front with Hezbollah on the northern part, and then you also have what has happened with the Yemeni army, courageous army that has stepped up to the plate, probably unlike many other countries, and is actually doing something. And that is another thing that they're discussing. What do you think, and at the same time the U.S. is saying, please try to watch out for civilian casualties. So what could be the outcome of this meeting? What can they do? Because they have both said they don't want this to expand, but yet this is expanding. But they also say, let us continue with the carnage. Let us kill as many Palestinians. Just don't stop us from doing that. I mean, that's what they want. They want their cake and eat it too.
The United States of America is a laughing stock among the international community in one side, in a black comedy side. Since they try to take care, don't kill that many civilians. They keep in from day one. We seen Biden came and hugged Netanyahu. Netanyahu, the one who went to the Congress at the time and humiliated Obama, his president of Biden. And the same time, Biden himself didn't like Netanyahu, but the hug and the support is for the Zionist entity. And today they're playing forward politics. They like what they're doing, and the Zionist entity have to change his cabinet and all of that. It's just not to associate himself with an open genocide on that scale. That's what Obama, Biden is caring about. The United States of America is, to me, the way they seen the crush happening in the Zionist entity is threatening the existence of the United States of America itself. So shoring up the Zionist entity, it's mean shoring up the United States of America's hegemony in the region and its control in West Asia and the Arab world, and it's make sure these Arabic countries and Muslim countries are under control of this Zionist entity, while this Zionist entity itself collapsed under the punches of nearly 1,000 freedom fighters from the Palestinian resistance. That's why the airlift, the supplies from skies, from the ground, even going through Arabic countries like Jordan to sustain the Zionist entity, financial packages, military packages, all the aid, all the support, all West Europe, they showed the real ugly colonialist faces in supporting the Zionist entity. Mm. Everything we know about the Universal Charter of Human Rights and all become in the dustbin of history. It's gone. It's the, sure. We are facing the ugly face of imperialism here.
Well, yeah, he's Master Shajar, our guest there, really has a point here, because for any thought of any mechanisms that may have been in one form or another instilled in any type of declaration from, as our guest there said, Declaration of Human Rights to the UN Charter, to anything else that should have prevented the carnage that's taking place now, to have stopped it. And it's still continuing, by the way, which is my question to you, Master Shajara. Israeli regime forces and the Israeli regime is using food as a weapon. It is most likely displacing Palestinians. These are all war crimes, and we're still seeing this happen, and they want this carnage to continue for months to come. What are we looking at in terms of this ugly side of history here?
Well, what is very clearly we are seeing is the planned genocide and genocidal act which is being implemented, and the United States supporting and the West supporting these genocidal acts, not just by keeping silent, but actually accommodating it by gifting weapons, bombs, and equipment for this genocide to take place. No one in the world at this particular time and moment could claim that they don't know what's going on. The genocide is happening in front of our eyes, and there are governments like Western governments, colonial power is supporting it, and international community is not fit for purpose. I mean, let us not forget, you know, only a week ago or 10 days ago, the ICC prosecutor went and spent 3 days in the illegal occupied territories, and only he didn't go to Gaza, but he went to West Bank, and he spent 1 hour talking to Palestinians and gave Palestinians 10 minutes to articulate the being victims of this genocide and victim of apartheid, victim of illegal occupation. That actually shows very, very clearly that Palestinians and indeed everybody else cannot, by any measure of sort of expansion, to think that they are going to get justice from the international courts or indeed international bodies. This is a genocide, well organized, well implemented, and indeed well supported by the West. But despite all that, they're not achieving their goals. Their goals is not achievable. It's just killing innocent people for no reason whatsoever.
Well, that is taking place in the occupied West Bank. And since you've mentioned the West Bank, Sapshath, what do you make of the statement by the Prime Minister, Israeli Prime Minister, who said that the Israeli army is ready to attack the Palestinian Authority and its security forces in the occupied West Bank? Why would Netanyahu make that statement? And if you put that next to the U.S. Claim that it wants a recalibrated PA in the Gaza Strip, how would you compare the two?
It's all, this is like a smokescreen to me. What is the Zionist entity saying and what the United States of America is saying? They say, like, after the math of the day after the genocide in Gaza, we're going to talk about installing the PA in Gaza Strip, but we have to get moderate leaders, like not like Mahmoud Abbas and his security apparatus, which they are liaisoning all the time with the Zionist entity, protecting settlers, arresting freedom fighters, putting a lid in any resistance in the West Bank. And the United States of America is coming today and telling the international community and the people, leaking some information, we're going to have the two-state solution here. Where is the two-state solution going to be implemented when there is no land left in the West Bank? All it's a land for the settlers. So what the Zionist entity is planning here, it's to make the life more miserable for the Palestinians in the West Bank, to push them back to Jordan, and to break the resistance in areas like Jenin refugee camps or in Nablus or in Hebron and there. But it's all failing. And this is what is scaring the United States of America. They see what's happening in Gaza. You mentioning Shija'iyah area today. Shija'iyah, actually the area's name, Shija'iyah, coming from Arabic term called Shaja'a, bravery. And this is the area. And the other one, there is, you have in Jabalia as well, till now, which is very north of Gaza. They drop at the bunker busters over 2 tons a bomb. We seen last night they create deep nearly in the ground over 20 meters, and the same in Khan Yunis. And they receiving heavy casualties every day. We seen it by videos documented. We seen the numbers. We seen even their hospitals, their helicopters landing. So they are failing in every level. The only thing is left in here. Give me a minute to say that.
Sure,
we seen General Guterres, General Secretary of the United Nations, invoked the Article 99. And we've seen the vote in the UN Security Council, which is vetoed by the United States of America. And we've seen the General Assembly backing the Palestinians 100% and voted for ceasefire with overwhelming support and showing the United States of America and Zionist entity isolated. And nothing is happening. Now, this Zionist entity was given birth by Resolution 181 from the General Council, the Assembly Council of the United Nations. The move now, the General Assembly to convene and vote to withdraw that 181 and to nullify this given birth certificate for the Zionist entity, because the General Council and United Nations committed a grave injustice against the people. The United Nations do not have the right to give Palestine and to divide Palestine to some for the general thugs, Zionist thugs coming from Europe, sure, because of the controlling power is the imperialist forces. So this is the next move, to call the United Nations to cancel this resolution 181.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. Well, let's see what the Iranian foreign minister has said, because we need to focus on this particular aspect of it, which has been thrown around in the news quite a bit, I must say, Masoud Shajar, and that is the fact that Israel is planning to purge the Gaza Strip from the Palestinians. They've cornered them into the Rafah area, and they kind of want to just throw them in or force them into Egypt. The Iranian foreign minister has issued this warning. Aside from that, additionally, it says that Saudi Arabia, this is what has been thrown around, that they should accept 500,000 Palestinians. We know that from the occupied West Bank, there were talks to give those Palestinians to Jordan. All of these are forced displacement, which is a war crime. Do you think that these types of motions and actions that the U.S., I'm sure, along with Israel, that have devised, are going to happen?
Well, no, it is not going to happen. Palestinians are not going to evict and leave their land. They are very clearly standing up and they're saying, we live or we die here, because they know this has happened before. This is what happened in Nakba, and they were pushed into Gaza and elsewhere, and they suffered day in, day out. The reality is that even Saudi Arabia and Egypt are not going to accept such a thing. This is unlawful. This is unacceptable. This is ethnic cleansing. This is war crime. And Israelis should not get away with a war crime. And this is what it's all about. I think the level of awareness that is coming up in the West, even in the United States and Western Europe and everywhere else, it actually demands a stop to this genocide, which was well planned before. I mean, if you look at this particular government of Israeli government, its policy was ethnic cleansing. Its policy was to kill all the Palestinians, or indeed expel them from their land. If you look at the sort of the songs and the singing that comes out of the children in the mainstream Israeli channels, they are boosting about it. They're actually singing how they want to rebuild Gaza for themselves. So this ethnic cleansing, this genocide, is well planned. It's nothing to do with the 7th of October. It's planned long before. One could even argue that 7th of October was a reaction to this plan of genocide of the whole of Palestinians, not just from Gaza, but also from West Bank. This is a reality plan of this particular government. It's supported by 80% of its citizens. So therefore, we are talking about an apartheid, illegal occupying force, which is set into committing the biggest genocide and war crime of our century.
All right, Slapshot, you gotta really help us out here to figure out what we're looking at, because the ones that are made out to be the bad guys, the ones that are evil, based on Western media, are the Yemeni army, who is targeting Israeli-affiliated ships, tankers, vessels. The ones that are evil are Hezbollah resistance movements, who's in solidarity with the Palestinians and the Hamas fighters, is doing its share and contribution. And they have one thing in common, they, the resistance groups, Yemeni army, they want to stop this carnage from continuing. How is it that they are made to be the bad guys, and that you have the U.S. and Israel asking the world, hey, we have to continue what we're doing? I mean, this is a flip side of logic here. And if the Israeli Minister of Military Affairs says, and we're going to continue this for 2 months, do you think that Hezbollah, the Yemeni army, and other players might up the ante in terms of the way that they're counter-reacting at this point?
Well, let me just say this. The Yemenis and the Hezbollah in Lebanon are brothers of the Palestinians. They are Arabs. They are, and they, it doesn't matter if Saki Spiku hacked the Arab world in different chunks to be colonized by the British and the French then. The Yemenis liberated themselves from the English Empire. The same thing like the Palestinians who tried, but then the Empire, the British Empire, brought the thugs, the Zionist thugs, to be their military base, 250,000 of them. So the Yemenis struggle in Yemen to support their Palestinian brothers in there. It's part of one cause, anti-colonial, the same thing in Lebanon. This is Arab anti-colonialist movement supported by the resistance acts, which is brothers in Iran as well backing them up. Because this area supposed to be for its own people. What the Americans doing in there, being intimidated or not, or the Zionist entity, they should go back to where they came from. This is the bottom line. This area is belong to its people. And those people, they've been in there for the last 6,000 years, and they will stay for more than 6,000 years to come. The Yemenis proved to themselves and proved to the world. Okay. They face the United States of America coalition with the Saudi Arabia against them. And they are afraid to face it. So the Yemenis, all what they say, and stop the genocide against our brothers in Gaza, we will stop this.
We have talked about the genocidal factor in at least half of this program, but I can't help but again talk about it in my last question to you, Masoud Shajara. Since that ceasefire that the world was waiting for to happen at the UN after the Article 99 was invoked, of which the U.S. used its veto, close to 1,000 Palestinians. 1,000 Palestinians have been killed. 1,000. Yeah. And that just shows how useless this system has become. So therefore, what my question is, what can be done? Sorry to sound like a cliche, because this war, this carnage is continuing to prevent this from happening. In less than a minute, please.
Well, the number of people become...